Our reading will be taken from Isaiah chapter number 7 from verse 9b, which is the second sentence there, verse 9b. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. It might be slightly different if you have another translation, but it reads, "If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all." I'll read it one more time. If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. Amen. I want you to turn and point at your neighbor. We ain't trying to disrespect him. They get mad at you, blame that big head preacher up there. Point at your neighbor. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, neighbor,
you have
influence.
Neighbor,
you have
influence.
Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "You Have Influence." Can I tell you a story? Well, there was a foster child my father and them had when many years ago. And his name was Anthony. And Anthony, I would always go and get him when we spend time together. Now, let me just say this. This was before I was saved. I was like 23, 24, and I was in my car. It was summertime, and Anthony had his little ball cap, you know, baseball cap hat on, and we were riding, and somebody cut me off. And I said, man, and rolled the window down and said a few choice words. Right? Now, Anthony is sitting there right next to me. He's 5 years old. Not, you know, I didn't think he ain't paying much attention. But then after Anthony and I stopped at the store and we got some ice cream, and he had his ice cream cone, and he was enjoying it. And, you know, back then, you know, I don't do it now, but I used to drive a little more reckless back then. So when I took the corner, I cut the corner hard, right? Anthony almost lost his ice cream. And he looked at me and said, man, what are you? Blankety blank blank. He repeated back what he heard me just. You know, I didn't realize it then, but now I understand that whether I wanted to know it or not, I had influence on him. My man's hat was turned sideways, almost dropped his ice cream too. You know, whether we know it or not, y'all, we do have influence. I want you to know, in this church, everybody in here has influence over somebody. Sister Penn, whether you know it or not, some folk don't feel that they've been in a good service until they heard you clap and say hallelujah. There you go. Give them the praise. And then there are other who are in service who don't want nothing to happen and will sit there with their arms folded. And other folk take keys from them, see them with their arms folded, and figure that I'm supposed to sit here with my arms. Whether we know it or not, we have influence over folk. Whether we do it intentionally or unintentionally. We also have to understand the thing about influence is this. All of it ain't good. Well. See the story I told you about me and little Anthony? That wasn't good influence. Right. Amen. Amen. I ain't had to tell y'all that story, but I just had to be honest with you. Because you know what I realized? Is that when we feel, Reverend Dab, that we got to be up on our high horses and let folk think that we are holier than thou, and that we don't make any mistakes, and that causes others to be influenced by us to the point where rather than them drawing closer to Jesus, they get further away because they look at you and say, there's no way I can go where you're going because I can't meet up to that. You see, that's an influence which is not positive. What causes us to be a church of influence is our ability to just laugh and joke and have fun with one another. I was saying up here to Reverend Rhodes, I said, you know, Doc, I just love how people are able to interact with one another. All right. Just like Sister Davis told Deacon Jones, don't you come up here and mess with me after service. You see, y'all, that is saying that whether we know it or not, what is catching here in this church is our ability to influence one another so that we can put our head down and just come and have church. Come and laugh with one another and enjoy one another's company and recognizing that ain't none of us in here are perfect. You see, but the one thing that we have to understand is that there's a saying that we all heard. The saying goes, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. The question that I must raise in the church, how many folk are falling? How many folk are here in church, but in all actuality, you're really laid out? And if there's enough folk in church who are laid out, that means that as folk are coming into church, they can't even walk because they got to trip over everybody. And one of the things that happens is that if there's enough folk who are in a fallen state and they see you standing, they're going to really try to trip you because they're saying that you're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to be where we are. You don't know what I mean by that? You know how I used Sister Penn earlier? Everybody don't like her saying, well, give him the praise. Why she got to always say that? There you go. And I miss Mother Austin in her second row right here on the corner. Because, you know, before I'm preaching, I always hear her. She's got her hum going on. And when I'm preaching, she's sitting right there talking right back to me. You know, and the thing that we have to understand is that these are all influences that are inspiring to me as pastor. And it ought to be inspiring to other folk, because when you see folk who have been on this earth for a few years and they can still say that the Lord is good and that he is good all the time, not that their lives have been a piece of cake, not that everything has been smooth, not that everything has been perfect, but understanding that I might be going through some stuff, but I serve a perfect God who will bring me through the whatever's in my life. So no matter what goes on in church, I'm going to give him the praise. Oh, somebody going to work with me. But we got to get to the story. Can I talk to you for a minute? I just feel like moving. Can I move a little bit? You see, now, I want us to see something. We got to understand this, and I just want to, I just want to talk to you. You see, this story deals with a king who would not stand for God, but he fell for anything. His name is King Ahaz. His grandfather was King Uzziah. I want you to know King Uzziah was a great king. And if you go back and read chapter number 6, you will see that God called Isaiah to be a prophet in the same year that King Uzziah died. And King Uzziah was a great king, but God said, you know what, but I need you to stand up for me. And after he called him, the next king in the throne was the father of Ahaz, that was Jotham. Jotham was a good king, but it says about Jotham, when you go back and read 2 Kings chapter 15, it says that he was a good king, but he still left up all the high places, which means that they would go up into these mountains and worship and praise rather than going to the temple of God. You see, if you're not standing for something, you'll fall for. God bless you. But what I'm saying is that even though all the good he did, talking about Jotham, he still left the remnants of falling for anything. You see, so by him doing that, Deacon Aldridge, is that when his son took the reign and became the next king of Israel, of Judah, I should say, because it's Judah and Benjamin, what happened is that rather than him seeing how his father did most of the stuff right, he focused on the stuff the father was doing that was wrong. And so he was doing all the stuff that was not pleasing in the sight of God. You see, Reverend Dad, the reality is that even when we mess up, God still gives us a chance. You see, but when I look here at this scripture, in chapter number 7, what had happened was that the Assyrian king and the king of the 10 northern tribes had got into an alliance together to attack Judah and to destroy it. Now, you would think that that God would be okay with it because the king himself, Ahaz of Judah, was not taking the time to praise God or even do the will of God. What he decided to do was just the opposite. He wasn't standing for God. He was falling for anything. And in his fallen state, he and the people of Judah got word. And the word that they got was that the two kings had made an alliance with one another and they were coming. The people were so afraid. It was like the people were shivering with fear, like when a wind blows against trees. They were afraid. Now, if you are the chosen people of God, if you recognize the position that you're in, yeah, you might get shaken for a second. But you realize that you're unshakable because of the God you serve is unshakable. But if you out there falling for anything, then you won't stop shaking because you feel that what's coming up against you is definitely going to take you out. Oh, but God. You see, this is the thing that I pondered and it's a head scratcher for me. The reason why it's a head scratcher is because of the fact that God told Isaiah to go to the king and take your son with you. You see, I want your son to see and for you to be an influence to him, because I'm going to use you and let your son see how I use you. And how I use you is the same way I can use your son. So he had him take his son and go to King Ahaz and give him words of encouragement and tell him, now is the time to make a change. And God said to him through Isaiah, you got to stand firm in your faith, or you won't stand at all. See, if you ain't standing, that means you are. Now, I don't understand, Sister Battle. Why would God give this shiftless, no good king an opportunity to make a change? This man who is the king, who ain't doing right. Walter, he's not really being the king. He ain't nothing like his great-great-great-great-grandfather David. The thing is, we know David wasn't faultless. But when we look at Ahaz, this brother ain't even thanking God for nothing. He's not standing for God. He's falling for But God comes knocking and tells him, Sister Chavis, that if you stand firm in your faith, I don't care what you haven't done before, but now is the time to stand firm in your faith. Why would God give this tired, messed up King Bree another chance? I'm glad you asked, because you know what it's called? Grace. It's called what? Grace. And what? You see, I am so thankful that God showed King Ahaz what? And what? Because you know what? All of us have some King Ahaz ways in us.
We ain't always been holy like we are right now. We ain't always walked by faith. We ain't always say, give him the praise. We ain't always say that I serve a mighty good God. We ain't always thank God for all that took place in our lives. There was a time we thought we was all that, a bag of chips, two shakes, and a soda on the side. We thought we had it all together. We didn't need God. I can do it all by myself. Oh, but I am so thankful that in the midst of our stupidness, I ain't calling you stupid, I'm talking about myself. In the midst of my stupidness, God still came to give me another chance. And when he gave me that next chance, he was letting me know it was all because of his grace. Oh, my goodness. So what he was letting King Ahaz understand is that, bruh, I'm giving you another shot. You know what? It wasn't just him giving the king a shot. Deacon Diane, God was letting Ahaz know, I ain't just blessing you. I'm going to use you to be a blessing. You see, because you were the king, it'd have been easy for him to just go and send Isaiah to the people. But the people would still be at odds with the king. So what God did was send him directly to the head. And he sent him to the head to get the head to understand, once we get the head right, then everything else will fall.
Amen.
You see, because it's the king that was falling for what? Anything. But what God was telling him, it's time for you to stand firm in your faith. So the king had a choice to make. You see, because once the king makes this choice and he does the right thing, it doesn't just impact him. It's going to impact the people.
Yeah.
The people will look at the king, because I want you to understand that the people got a lot of their keys from the king.
Oh, yeah.
You see, because the king was falling for anything. So what were the people doing? Falling for.
Yeah.
And now that the Lord is getting him to stand firm in his faith, the people will be influenced by the actions of the king, and they will stop falling for anything and stand firm in there. You see, we have to understand, whether you believe it or not, somebody is watching you, Brother Phil. And I ain't talking about the Rockwell song he sang back in the 80s. Somebody gonna work with me. Because I always feel like somebody is watching. Oh, somebody know that song. Somebody know what I'm talking about. But come on back, because that's not where I am. But I want you to understand that when somebody is watching you, you are influencing somebody. When you walk around sucking your teeth all the time, don't get mad at your children if they walk around sucking their teeth all the time. If they always see you running your mouth and gossiping about folk, don't get mad if they run around and gossip about folk. They see you walking around cussing and tell you not to cuss. Soon as you move, they cuss. Come on now, you, whether you know it or not, Sister Fee, you have influence. You see, whether we know it or not, we are influencing other folk. Now, when other folk look at us, they don't always see us with our A game on. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Whether I want to believe it or not, I ain't always got my A game on. And if I know I ain't always got my A game on, I know for a fact you ain't always got your A game on. You know, but the one thing that we have to remember, that even when we look at ourselves, and even when we look at how we've stumbled, even when we looked at how we have fallen, even though some of us might be in a fallen state right now, I'm here to tell you that God wants to give you grace and mercy and let you know it's time for you to get up. Somebody say with me, get up. It's time for you to get up out that fallen state. Get up, because the Lord wants you to walk by faith. Get up. because you are influencing somebody else. Get up, because the Lord wants you to understand you are going to do great things. But in order to do these great things, you must walk by what? So when I look at this scripture, what God is saying to King Ahaz, brother, I'm giving you another chance. Aren't we grateful that every day that we wake up in the morning, God is giving us another chance? I know you might have missed crossing a couple of I's yesterday. You forgot all about the T's. But the Lord is telling you, you got a new day. And this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So you got another chance to dot some more I's and cross some more T's, because I want you to know you have influence. Brother Roscoe, whether you believe it or not, somebody's watching you. They're taking keys from you. And then you know how, you know, the amazing thing is, you know what's interesting is that folk are surprised when they see people doing the stuff that they do. I'm going to let that one sink in. I didn't say it was bad. Y'all just took it that way. Come on now, let's work with me. You see, whether we know it or not, you were influenced by somebody. And through you being influenced by somebody, you started out doing what they did or what they do. And then as you got more mature in your faith, then you found your own identity. When I first started preaching, I ain't preach like this. I preach like my pastor. Somebody gonna get that. You know why? Because he had influence. Every Sunday, Brother David, I was sitting there listening. And I got a lot of my keys from him. So when I first started preaching, I sound like him. But then I found my own voice. And when I found my own voice and realizing that how God is using me, then I was able truly to spread my wings and be who God was calling me to be. But it's okay that others will get their influence from you. But from them starting with you doesn't mean they're going to mimic you forever. They just got to have a place to know how to start. And once they get started, now they know how to move, because the Lord's going to move them and how he's going to use them. That's no different for anybody up in God's house. But one of the things that I want you to recognize, whether you believe it or not, they are watching you. Sit there all tight face, and then they're going to figure that, well, I guess I'm supposed to be in church like this too. You sit there, you know, praising God, and they figure, I guess that's what I'm supposed to be doing too. You influence their praise. Initially, it's not their praise, it's your praise. But after them doing it long enough, it no longer is yours, it's now become their own. Because it becomes authentic. I want you to know that in church, God does not call us to be cookie cutters. We are all not supposed to praise God the same way. But I want you to know that everybody in here ought to have some praise. Because when you know how good the Lord has been to you, when you know that he shows you grace and mercy. But give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Somebody gonna work with me? That's all right. My mic that went out on me, but that's all right. That's why I'm using this one right here. I want y'all to understand that when you are a child of God, you understand that you have influence, and you don't use it for your own betterment. You use it for the glory and honor of God, because the Lord has been mighty good to us. You don't mind letting folk know, I serve a mighty good God. He brought me a mighty long way. He's turned my life around. Do I got a witness in God's house? He got me up out the hospital bed. He put me on the rock to stay. I'm in my right mind because of God's grace and mercy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you got a reason to thank him?
Do you got a reason to praise him? Somebody ought to say, hallelujah. Whether you believe it or not, check this out. You know who is the biggest influencer in the church? Let me tell you a story about the biggest influencer in the church. He stepped down through 42 generations. Walked on this earth. They called him Joseph's son. He was a carpenter. That's all they thought he was. But I'm here to tell you something. He was more than that. Then the brother called a ragtag bunch of 12 individuals. An old cheating tax collector. Some fishermen. And he put them all together. And he had them follow him. Depending on who you believe, either it was a year or 3.5. And Jesus was influencing them. And letting them know how they are to live their lives. To the glory and honor of God. But the enemy thought he would put it to an end. When he took Jesus, placed him on the cross. When he went to the cross, they nailed him to it. But I want you to know that's not what kept him up there. What kept him up there was love, Sister Davis. He loved us so much. He stayed on the cross. And he took our sins to the cross. And when he died, our sin died with him. And don't you know, he stayed in the tomb. Friday night, Saturday night. But early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And he had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He took away the sting of death. He took away the victory from the grave. And he now is the biggest influence in our lives. And if it had not been for Jesus, I don't know where I'd be right now. Do I got a witness in God's house? Has the Lord influenced your life? Has he turned you around? Has he placed your feet on solid ground? Is he now doing a new thing in you? I tell you, we serve a God who influences us, makes a way for us, and he's blessing us. Somebody will put their head back and say, hallelujah. There is none like our God, because he is the biggest influence of our lives. You see, if you look to me, I can influence you to a point. But at some point, I'm going to fall short for you. Because you know what? I ain't God. Guess what? You ain't God. But that's why we thank God for who? Jesus. Because he don't ever fall short. He's always right there. You ain't got to ever call him and wonder if he heard you. He ain't going to hang up on you. He ain't going to tell you he ain't got time to talk to you. He gonna be right there for you. He is just good like that. And I don't care when you call on him, he gonna hear you. At the midnight hour, he gonna hear you. 6 in the morning, he gonna hear you. Noon, he gonna hear you. 4 o'clock, he gonna hear you. He gonna be right there for you, because he is the greatest influence on all of our lives. Isn't that the reason why we're in church right now? Because Jesus has influenced us to let us know that we are saved, we've been healed, delivered, and set free. Do I got any free folk in God's house right now? Have you been set free? Is the Lord blessing you right now? Oh, what a mighty God. You have influence. And it didn't start with you. It started with the Father, passed down through the Son, moved through the Holy Spirit, and now it's in us. So we ought to have some influence. Stop walking around like you are defeated and depleted. I know it seems like the road is getting rougher, but go on and keep praising God. I know it ain't all working out the way you want it to, but the Lord is going to fix it. But what the Lord wants you to know, Sister Mormon, I know it's rough on you right now, but you keep your hand in God's unchanging hand, because he told us he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. And I want us all to know this day that, you know what, if it was always smooth, would we really appreciate God? Would we really appreciate God if everything came out smooth as ice and twice as nice? We would start making a mistake and thinking, Reverend Rose, we doing it all ourselves. But it's God. It's God. Is there somebody here this day who the Lord is influencing? You feel that you don't have a right to be here because of the stuff you did? Is there anybody here who ain't ever done no stuff? Raise your hand. Y'all see what mine is, right? We done all done some stuff. But the Lord influenced us and has delivered us. So I want us all to rise to our feet right now. If you are here this day and you have not accepted Christ into your life, I'm saying you have an opportunity this day to come. Give us your hand and give God your heart. The Lord wants to influence you. Jesus came so that you will no longer have to be beat down by the sins of your past. He came to take away the sin. He came to take away the sin. But you have to willingly say, I confess it. And when you do, it's gone. And that's when his grace and mercy kicks in even more. Whether you know it or not, God is showing you grace and mercy. But what he wants you to know now is he wants you to be influenced by him. Come and give your life to him. Let him have his way with you. Why? Because he loves you. How does he love you? Just the way you are. So if you're here this day, as my brothers and sisters in Christ are walking the aisles, I invite you to come. Give us your hand. Because when you look at our hands, you don't see perfect hands. You see hands that have been redeemed. You see hands that have been influenced by the great influence of Jesus. So we want you to come. Give us your hand and give God your heart. You take that first step by yourself. And that's the last step you'll ever take by yourself. So will you come this day? Will you come? He's waiting for you. Will you come, my brother?
Grace and mercy.
And then there's somebody who's saying, I'm already saved. Well, praise God. You can still come under Christian experience. Will you come, my brother? Will you come, my sister? He's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for you.
You had on me.
Somebody else needs to come. We invite you this day. Come on today. Come on. Don't leave here. The Lord is influencing you. Embrace it. You'll feel so much better. Will you come this day?